There we go. Welcome, everybody. Again, I'm Anton, and this is Rodianne with me. Welcome to our information meeting, where we're here to simply be available and discuss and answer questions about the conscious use of sacred mushrooms, is how we refer to it, and how we work with Soma and sacred mushrooms in our way. With me and with us this evening are a few panelists. They'll get an opportunity to introduce themselves to you shortly. They are Rodianne, Roger, Margie, and Monica. The only thing that sets them apart from everybody else here, knowing that Carrie's also a watcher and Corita is also a watcher, is that they've also received the questions and comments that you had an opportunity to include on your registration, and they've read those already. So they will, as the evening goes on, and if there's an opportunity, they'll try and feed and answer those questions in as they answer anything. But you're encouraged here to get involved and ask questions if you want to, and you can do that verbally by sticking up your hand, reacting in the reactions box underneath in Zoom, or type it in by a text is also a really good way to communicate. Let us know what your thoughts are and what questions you have. And we're here to simply have an open, free discussion. Let's take a chance to introduce ourselves briefly. I've mentioned I'm Anton. I do the admin and communications of these events, the Soma retreats, and also the stuff that comes in from an online point of view. It takes up a few hours of my day helping Monica as the last few years have evolved. That part of what she does has got really busy. A lot of inquiries, a lot of people asking questions, a lot of people wanting to know, a lot of man in the street type of people wanting to know about psilocybin mushrooms and how it can benefit them in their lives. And largely answering that correspondence has got to do with sharing how we work, which is not the only way. And there are many ways of working with sacred mushrooms. The way that Monica works is very specific. And by the time we're finished here this evening, hopefully there's an opportunity to know a little bit more about that. I live outside of Cape Town with my beautiful partner, Rodianne. And you'll get an opportunity to hear from her now as well. Rodi, can I hand over to you for you to introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. So as Anton mentioned, I live with him here in Houdini. It's quite interesting when he was explaining what he does. I'm that sounding board when there's those emails that he doesn't really know what to say. It's quite a lovely opportunity for me because there are some things that are becoming a lot easier to deal with, and there are quite the difficult times. And it's lovely because I get to have an insider view as to what's happening and give my support. But a lot of the times there isn't the Anton and Rodianne at the bottom of an email. So there's that part that I'm needing to get used to, which is, it's lovely because in a way it's just another way for me to be of service and be in the background, if that makes any sense, which allows me to take care of everything else that Anton doesn't have the opportunity to keep his hands on, because he is, as he said, spending many hours a day answering the other emails that I'm not involved in. So in a way, that's what I do. And I spend a lot of my days with us, as he's mentioned before, and some of you have seen it, maybe not all of you. He spends many hours with me. So we are spending a lot of time discussing these wonderful things. Otherwise, I'm living here and we are creating a beautiful garden. I would like to believe it's going to be somewhere where there'll be a reprieve for the human soul at some stage. I love this work with mushrooms that we do. I love seeing the people who arrive that are inquisitive, that are taking this journey and having an inquiring mind and just a search to see what is there. Is there something more? Is there something I can do? Is there something about myself that I can learn? And I'm just so glad to see that there are new faces here and that we are part of this journey with you. So thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Rodi. I'd like to go next to Roger, then Margie, then Monica. Roger, let us know very briefly a little bit more about you and as we start getting ready to jump into questions. I'm going to keep prompting people to let us know about. Roger.
Evening all. As interested, my name is Roger. I'm now living in Pelaborwa, pretty close to the Kruger National Park. My wife and I recently moved here, and we're really, really enjoying it. There's a sense of serenity and peacefulness, and a sense of being close to nature up here, which are probably are things that wouldn't have tickled me previously, but now do since I had my first journey at Somerland, possibly 5-6 years ago. And it was a profound experience. And I did a couple of journeys at Somerland, and then learned the art of watching with Monica and Anton and Radian in particular. For me, it was a life-changing experience. And I really love watching. I love watching because it's amazing to see people have their own epiphanies. See people realize their own spirituality. And it's such a blessing to be able to be of service to others who want to have this possibly life-changing experience. I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. So good to have you with us again. Margie, good evening, Margie.
Hi, I'm based in Cape Town and have been journeying since the end of 2018. And it's a journey of discovery, and just each time I do a journey, getting further insights and slowly chipping away at kind of masks that we put up in living in this world of ours. So it hasn't happened all at once for me, but the benefits have been enormous in terms of just suddenly realizing how things have changed. And then I started watching in May last year and have done both online watching. I've done watching at Somerland. And I've also done watching, and I won't call it hybrid, but a watching where I've sat with people who are doing the online journey and been with them at home, and enjoyed that experience as well. So every time I watch, again, I'm learning so much around the art of watching, but also how different people experience mushrooms in different ways. So I'm now just retired recently. Well, I was retired by University of Cape Town. So thought I'd have a lot more time to do much more exploring, but it seems like I just don't. I'm hoping that things will start quietening down around July, August, a bit around that. So it's a whole new phase of exploring and allowing me space for myself as well. So mushrooms are a big part of that, filling that space as well. So that's me.
Thank you, Margie. Good evening, Monica.
Hi there, everyone. I've been working with mushrooms for a long time, I think longer than everybody else here, just by chance that it happened like that, because I happen to be older than all of you. And I just want to correct something that Anton said. He made a mistake. And that is, he said that the way we do mushrooms is my way. It is not my way. It's not Monica's way. It's a way that evolved over time, over a very long time and many journeys and many hundreds of people, as we began to discover how best to work with this very magical organism that comes out of the ground and is so very ancient in the history of the planet. And it has evolved in a phrase that Anton used now this evening that I really like, and that is that we use it consciously. We use mushrooms consciously to broaden our consciousness of nature and of how everything is bound up in certain rhythms and patterns that help to bring us all together and help us to evolve within ourselves. I would hate to ever be given credit for it. It's not an accurate reflection of the truth, which is, I understand why Anton said what he said, just because I was there at the beginning. But that doesn't make it all mine. And when I'm dead, you guys, don't you dare say that sort of thing. And I can't correct it because I won't be here. I'll spook you if you do that. That's my bit.
And yes. We're recording this, Monica.
Better play it at my funeral, I think. Absolutely. Just to scare the pants off everybody.
I think what's also very important that comes out of what Monica says, and Monica, you're quite right, thank you. But it's an indicator of how seriously we take this work. There could very potentially be a certain laziness in letting my relaxed state of making a statement like that just get away. And that's not the way we work. We take this work very, very seriously. So thank you for that correction. That's us, the panelists introduced. There are others here, Carrie, who you're a watcher, Corrida, you're a watcher. We have our dog on the bed behind us that's making itself very comfortable. If you can hear some noise, we apologize for that. Apologies. That's us panelists. Please feel free to ask questions and let the discussion flow from there. And you all are also welcome. Carrie, Corrida, you're welcome to share and give answers from your own experiences. That's one thing about Soma Watchers. We are not pretending and saying that we have all the answers. We are simply experienced in our way and our way of life, or our parts of our life, to share our thoughts from our own experiences. To get the ball rolling, maybe, Danny, I'm not going to specifically pick on you, but I'd like to come back to some of the thoughts that you shared in your registration. You're welcome to speak if you like, or we can work through that via text. I'll come back. And then Tamlin, you also spoke about and mentioned you wanted to know a little bit more about microdosing. So we can cover microdosing as we go on this evening. Danny, would you like to voice your questions? That's up to you. That's an option you have. You can shake your head if you'd not like to, or we can hand over to you.
Oh, that's fine. I'm good with that.
Thank you.
I don't have the email in front of me with the questions now. But I think it was mostly, I'm curious about the awakening process, the spiritual process ever since a spiritual awakening back in about 2002, something like that. And I've done hypnotherapy, past life regression, those types of things. And it's just fascinating information that comes through. It's just like, where is this coming from? You know, I would just spill about lifetimes and some of it pretty amazing and almost like, really? You know what I mean? Like, really? So I was just curious mostly, you know, I've seen or read about the Native American way of like peyote and their journeying and their, I can't even think of the name, the sauna, you know, hot thing. And so, and I've done, I'll admit it right here on TV or whatever this is on video, a lot of drugs in my life. And, but I always did them recreationally, you know, and we just danced or, you know, partied and, or, and some of the things that I look back on now, I'm going, holy heck, there was really some mind-bending things happening during that time. And I noticed that a lot of it seemed to happen sometimes too, when I was sleep deprived. I actually saw like apparitions, you know, a Native American elder with a peace pipe just appear like right in front of me, and just different things like that. So when Carrie started talking to my friend about this and I knew she was going to do it, I said, oh my gosh, in a controlled atmosphere, this is right up my alley. So I'm just kind of curious if it's the same, like if the experience is enlightening in that way. I would imagine it would be. I've never, like I said, you always partying and moving around and doing things and walking, and we're here. It sounds like I'm going to be, you know, laying down and Carrie's going to be watching me, and I guess I don't know what to expect. Like things will just come through. I mean, I read that not to really set intentions, because the shrooms will tell you what's supposed to come through for you. Anyway, I am so excited, you guys. This is right up my alley. This is makes my heart happy.
Danny, just to clarify, and for our panelists, and maybe Carrie, you can answer as well. You're planning to journey with Carrie when? Is that soon?
Yeah, this Saturday.
Okay. So that'll be outside of our Soma at Home event. And you'll be going to her in Washington, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when you talk about the experience, you're talking about journeying with mushrooms with Carrie, and that's kind of where I can ask Carrie to step in and just help us guide before we go off on a tangent, and suppose there can be certain an understanding of what you're offering and the space that you're creating, and then we can share more information about that's. What would be the right word? That experience, that what happens, that door that opens. Carrie, can I check in with you? Hi.
Sure. Hi there. And hi, Danny. Hi, everyone else. Yeah, so Danny and I will be on our own, and I will be a companion watcher for him. And I'm happy for you, Danny, to sit down, to find a place to move. If you want to move, there will be plenty of room to move. But, you know, I think it's an inward journey, and I think you're quite right, you know, just to let go and mushrooms find you where you are and bring to you the knowledge and the information and the insights that you maybe don't even know you need. Because I think that that's what mushrooms have certainly done for me, is when I look back at some of my journeys, they certainly haven't been maybe always the journeys I wanted, but they've always been the journeys that I've needed. And so, you know, I also want you to just be able to be you in this space. And so if you feel a need to dance, I want you to be able to feel free to get up and dance. Just this last Saturday, I was actually watching with two people, and I could see her on the couch moving her hands and her legs. And she said to me afterwards that had she had the energy, she would have wanted to get up and dance. So I want you to feel free to do whatever feels right for you in that moment. I'll be watching and listening and companioning you with my heart. And so I am happy for you to let your intuition and shrooms do whatever they need to do to bring you the enlightenment that you want. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Carrie. And Danny, we're going to keep going with this theme. I want to check in with PC before we go off on too far a tangent. In case, PC, you want to bring in or chip in on this topic. PC?
Who is PC?
There we go. There's PC. Hi. What is your name, PC?
Oh, me.
Yes, hi. I've got PC on the screen.
Yes.
Did you want to add something to what Danny was saying?
I have a question. Interesting. I don't know why my name is not appearing on the screen. I'm so sorry. My name is Selma.
This is Selma.
Hello. Pleased to meet you. I have a question. I'm not too sure. Maybe you can just guide me here. I do believe that according to what I've read, that it is important to have an intention. Is that not so?
Can I answer that?
Please.
For many spiritual practices, people do start out with intentions. And I've also noticed that like ayahuasca journeys, they have an intention. In the way that we do it, we very careful not to have an intention, because we are aware that the power of the sacred mushroom is way more than our little brains and what we can think that we need or what we want. So we focus on surrendering to what actually comes to us, because the Soma way of doing things, the mushrooms have a, I mean, this sounds very, it is very mysterious. They know you, they know me. And so they know, if it were me, they know what I need more than I think, what I think I know I need. So we surrender to whatever is possible. And the other thing that applies here is that the sacred mushrooms are able to go below the symptoms, like depression, for instance, is a symptom. And it goes below all of those words that we have given to various conditions and get to the core and the cause of what is happening for us. And will often also speak to us in symbols and patterns that we can't clearly understand, because once we start struggling to understand, we lose the plot. We cannot understand, but that particular language that the mushrooms speak, it's a language of the soul somehow, and then our souls understand all those symbols. But it goes below the level of our human intelligence that operates from this thing in our heads, our brains. And so we get much more from the journey than if we decided that this is what I want. I want to start sleeping better or whatever it might be. I want to get over my addiction. I mean, there's just so many things. And in the end, it's a disappointment because we blocked ourselves from the full experience of what it could be.
Okay.
That makes sense to you, Selma?
It does. I have another question. Thank you very much. So I've done a few ayahuasca ceremonies. Just a little bit about myself. I'm a very conservative person. I've never ever done any drugs in my lifetime.
It's like me too.
So my only and my first experience was with ayahuasca. And I'm very grateful that it crossed my path. And I've done a few, and it's been life changing for me. So what I like about it is the fact that you remember everything very, very clearly. Over a long period of time, you would have a blurred vision initially, and then later on, the picture will just be revealed to you, which for me is exactly what I wanted. And it was really great for me. And that's something that I felt that it speaks to me as a person. And I've spoken to a few other people and people that I've met in my journey. And I've read a lot of books about magic mushrooms, and I'm a great fan of Terence McKenna, and I thought to also expand my insight to mushrooms, and what I wanted to find out is because I've never done it, I have no idea. Is it also, is it the experience itself? I know it's unique for each and every individual, but is it also very clear, and you will remember your experience? Because I don't know.
Does someone want to answer that before I jump in?
I've just stopped myself from jumping in. You jump in, Monica, and I'll add on.
Yes. Okay. Selma, I did at least 50 ayahuasca ceremonies, probably closer to 100 actually.
Wow.
Many, many, many. And in my own experience, mostly nothing happened at all. But nevertheless, I enjoyed just being there with the singing and the music and the drumming and the smudging and the smoke and all of that sort of the fire. I really like that. And on the few occasions that I did actually have an experience, I was enormously blessed. I learned a huge amount, but I can't say that I remember everything. I did not remember everything. I do not remember everything from ayahuasca journeys, but I have no regrets about that because our memory is an interesting thing. It doesn't really forget anything. Just because we can't recall it doesn't mean we don't remember it.
Sure.
And mushrooms, they come at you with a billion, million different things all at the same time, sometimes. And you will not remember it all. And it doesn't matter. Because as soon as we start trying to remember, we're wanting to engage with our brains again. And our brains are too small and too small thinking in their way to actually grasp the enormity of the work that we're doing. So I've also done a couple of hundred mushroom journeys as well. And so I've got a good understanding of both of them, and they are quite different, but in some ways also very similar.
Okay. Thank you.
There's less nausea and vomiting with mushrooms. Ayahuasca, of course, is well known for the vomiting. It's almost part of the practice of it. If you haven't vomited, you haven't journeyed yet. And I got into that. I did plenty of my share of the being sick, sometimes out of a window, sometimes rushing out into a garden and being sick in a flower bed or in some hole in the ground kind of toilet. It was always out in the bush somewhere. And it was wonderful. I have no regrets, but it was as though I moved on to mushrooms. Okay, sorry, one more thing I want to say about a difference with ayahuasca from my own experience, and I've discovered this from others as well. I said that mostly I didn't experience anything for the majority of my journeys. But that never has happened with mushrooms. never once has mushrooms not given me a strong, very strong experience. And that was very attractive to me. I like that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Selma. Selma, I want to add on a little bit about intention. And often when we talk about intention, we include the definition of expectation. And maybe that ties in a little bit with Danny too. Setting an intention is often equal to setting an intention of having a certain expectation or a certain outcome for an experience. Likewise, you shouldn't expect a certain outcome. Our electricity has just come back on, our load shedding's over. Not to have a certain expectation of that outcome either. In other words, this is how the experience is going to be. It's going to be as enlightening, and I'm going to receive downloads and receive this connection very similar to how I may have experienced with hypnosis and soul retrieval, etc. Do not have that expectation. Release that completely and go into the experience with no thoughts of receiving that and be open to whatever happens, including nothing, because nothing is an outcome. Nothing is a result. And we've seen so often in physical environments, especially when there's a group and you're going through a number of people and the person says, you know what, nothing's happening. I don't feel anything. And I didn't feel anything. And then a few hours later, you see they've been seated in the same position for hours and hours and they're processing. And then you see them a week or two later and these layers have come off. So there's never no results, as Monica says. That doesn't happen. Just go with that flow. Have no expectation, and see what comes out. And what comes out is the next morning. We're talking about don't take the sacrament and 3 or 4 hours later say, well, this is what happened.
And now I can process.
Your experience is over. The next morning, if you're starting, as we mostly do, at 7-8 o'clock in the evening, it's over when you have breakfast the next morning. That sleep and slumber that happens in between, that is all part of the experience, and you're encouraged to embrace all of that, however it comes to you. So that's a little addition to intention, and also avoiding any ideas of expectation. Carrie has made a note to remind us to speak a little bit about how we arrived at 5 grams. Who would like to speak a little bit more about that?
About Carrie?
Carrie.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts, since you've given us a question to start off with.
and you're hosting a ceremony this weekend. Let's see where
you're at.
Well, I would probably have thoughts around the fact that, you know, over the years, as Monica says, you know, Soma has spoken about what not to do and what to do sometimes. And, you know, you've also had hundreds and hundreds of journeyers go through the process. And over the years, I think it's, you know, you've seen that the best opportunity to journey, to get beyond the ego and the head that's constantly trying to make sense of things, is somewhere around about 5 grams. So that's my best guess.
Yeah, that's about it. That's all you can say. I mean, if we suggest 5 grams for a first-time journey, and we don't recommend, we will never give more than 5 grams for a first journey. 5 grams ensures that you will break through your own inhibitions and your fears and your resistance, so that you get through and you have a real experience. But there is something interesting that happens after you've had, say, 2 or 3 journeys, or maybe a bit more, with 5 grams. It's as though our brains get calibrated, and we can go down to 2 grams and have a 5 gram experience, because our brain remembers. I think our human brain loves mushrooms, because kind of can't wait to, you know, and recognizes and picks up on where we were before. And so we don't need to have 5 grams every time, just the first few times, just to be sure that we actually get there. And smaller amounts are used at trance parties and music festivals. They're great. The smaller amounts are great for dancing and in a huge groups and loud music, and lovely for that. And lots of other drugs all being used. If you've been to music festivals, as I have been, not to a lot, but I've been to at least five of them. And they're noisy and jolly and dancing and colors and flashing. And it's wonderful to have less. You only need 2 grams, 1 gram even, to have lit rip with that. But we do serious work. We're very serious about what we do, that this is not about having fun and not about dancing and prancing around, unless that is a spiritual experience, which it can be. We want to make connection with a higher force, with the force of nature. That's what we want to do. And that is quite overpowering and overwhelming when we have that experience. And we're hardly capable of getting up and singing and dancing when we get into that place.
Taking things seriously is what we mentioned before, is quite key with that process. We're recommending 5 grams, and remembering also that working with mushrooms in this way, we're not starting with smaller doses. We're recommending to start with the 5 grams to break through that barrier. I've sometimes correctly or incorrectly referred to it as a psychedelic barrier, a quantity where you're guaranteed to break through that barrier. There's nothing worse than a first-time journeyer arriving and convincing you as a host to take, oh, I only want to try 3 grams to see how it works out.
Because I'm so small. For instance.
And there they sit on the edge of the cliff the whole night after spending a week or two of preparation for this experience, and they're stuck on the cliff. And no matter what you do, you can't push them over to release and let go and embrace what's right there waiting for you. Mm. And it's after, as Monica mentioned, 2, 3, 4, 5 experiences where they understand there's no need to hang on to the end of the edge of the cliff. You can let go and free fall. Mm. And that can then happen at 2 or 3 or 4 grams. Mm. But you also identify and get to know and understand what this connection is about. Mm. This connection that mushrooms gives you within, which is why then when microdosing arrives as an option, if you understand what this connection is and you're calibrated in a way that you can then microdose and receive the full advantage of microdosing continuously when people are inquiring about mushrooms. And often it starts with this inquiry of microdosing. I'd like to microdose. Working in this way is first do a journey, first do a 5 gram journey, and then continue with microdosing. There's nothing wrong with microdosing first. But in our experience, you're not giving yourself the best opportunity. Mm. And if we're going to, and we're being these watchers, these panelists, these amazing people, Carrie, you, Corita, Roger, Margie, Monica, you, Rodianne, especially, the amount of effort we're putting in, giving our time, I'm quite serious, giving our time and our energy, we're not being paid for this. This is us offering our time in service. If we're going to offer that as amazing people as you are, then we want you to do the best that you can, experience the best that you can. And that comes through experience of learning that this is the best outcome. And if you want to go and experiment with that elsewhere, then please, one should. But trust these amazing humans that are here offering from their own experience of doing this hundreds of times, mm-hmm. that this is the best outcome that you could possibly have by following these guidelines, that we're open to change because we're not closed to learning. There's opportunity to do better every single day and every single opportunity. Soapbox off. Roger, hi.
Yeah, I think the issue of the 5 grams was a question that was raised by is it Charissa? Charissa, yeah.
Yes, Charissa.
And I want to tie that into the question that Tamlin has posted on the. On the sort of whatever you call it, the chat box thing. It's quite normal to be anxious about doing a 5 gram journey. You are, after all, going to enter into something which might very well be a life-changing experience. And I think in part, we need to go back and we need to look at the ethos that underpins the way that we practice this work. So what I want to say to you is that, especially with the online process that we're using, apart from the physical ceremonies, is there's a beautiful process that unfolds the whole week building up to the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And part of that whole process is to help you get yourself into the right mindset for you to do the own work that you need to do in the build up to actually doing the ceremony. So there's a lot of thought and a lot of hard work that goes in helping you to prepare yourself in the week building up to the process. And part of that work is to try and create, whether it's physically or in the online experience, to try and create a loving, caring environment, non-judgmental environment, an environment within which you feel as safe as you can be, an environment within which you feel that you can allow yourself to be as vulnerable as possible. And so there's a beautiful process that unfolds. And it's important to be part of that process. And hopefully that would help get you prepared and in the right mind frame for the journey. And then Tamlin raises the issue of, if I remember correctly, it was to do with, well, what is this watching all about? The role of a watcher actually is to do as little as possible, because what we've found from experience is that all that is needed is yourself and the spirit of the mushroom. All that we are there to do is to try and create a safe, secure, loving, non-judgmental environment for you to undertake your journey, your sacred process, your inquiry into yourself and beyond. It's your process. It's not ours. It's not ours to interfere in your process. We're there simply to create a loving, safe and secure environment, and for you to have the fullest experience that you can have.
Can I just add one sentence to that quickly? Sorry, Margie, I didn't see your hand go up. I think it's just, I want to say, I think it's our responsibility not to interfere with your journey, to do whatever we have to do just to stay in our lane and let you experience what it is that
you
need.
Thank you, Carrie. You put that beautifully. Yes.
Thank you, Carrie. Margie, go ahead.
I want to come back. Just to say it's been quite a hard journey to learn not to interfere as watcher, but it is something you learn to do. And it does get easier from my experience. I want to come back to this thing of intent and doing the work. And thinking back to my first journey where I felt nothing really had happened except feeling terribly nauseous and doing lots of vomiting. thinking back now to that first journey, and I came back a year later. So why did I come back? I clearly wanted something. And thinking about that first journey, and I think I had no intent, to the point where I wasn't prepared to put myself out to the process. So I had no intention of, I think subconsciously it was, I probably hadn't thought and hadn't done the work of why am I doing this? where do I want to go with this? And because of that, in a way, I just didn't allow myself to open up to the experience. And yeah, and I thought quite a lot about I didn't really prepare myself for it. I just thought, well, it's just going to happen to me. Whatever's going to happen, it will happen. It will be interesting, curious experience. And I think I didn't consciously prepare myself to go into a journey. So I think in terms of that intent, there's a little bit of, one does have to have an intent to participate in a way, to really put yourself into it. And that's part of the work of really of participating in that process. And thinking back, I mean, in those days, we got some written notes to read and to think about how to prepare. And I'm notoriously bad about reading those things. So I probably didn't really read them properly and didn't really think about it. And I think the processes that we're doing now that started through the online have really helped us to force that process of getting ready for it. And I really like that that has changed. And now we're using it also for the in-person journeys at Somaliland to have the WhatsApp group before, to start creating that sense of togetherness, to do this journeying together. And I think that's possibly one of the more positive things we've got out of COVID and going on to the online journeying. So I just wanted to reflect a bit on that. And so one does have to have an intent to be willing to participate and let yourself get taken onto the journey and to allow yourself to go on the journey and to let go, but not exactly what the outcomes is that you do want to get. It can't be specific in that sense.
Go ahead, Monica.
Can I add just a small thing to what Margie said, which I think is what she meant. When we're talking about intentions, usually people come with the intention of the outcome that they want. They want healing of this and healing of that. But an intention, I almost always have this thought for myself when I'm going to journey. I want to have within myself not one single block between me and the work of mushrooms. It's to do with me and how I'm going into this. That, if you can call that an intention, that I want to be able to surrender completely. But as to the outcome and what I'm going to learn, I wouldn't even know where to start. Not anymore. At the beginning, I had some ideas, but those have been blown away by other things.
If I can just come in there and say, and I think Margie is right, there has to be that intent. To a large extent, that intent in part is to try and prepare yourself to be as vulnerable as possible. Because the more you open yourself and allow yourself to be vulnerable, the greater the chance. My mother-in-law has been here, and she's been watching this program on TV. I think it's a Spanish program, that's a series that's been dubbed into Afrikaans. Anyway, I was watching it earlier on just now. And the one actor said along the lines of, if you're not prepared to be brave, you will always look at life from the outside. And there's, you know, the vulnerability is often perceived to be a sign of weakness. And yet it is the absolute heart of braveness and courageousness, to allow yourself to be open and to expose yourself is a brave thing to do.
And Roger, I want to go back or just touch on a thought that Margie, you made me think about this reflection. And maybe, Danny, knowing that you're getting ready for an experience this weekend, maybe that'll help you. This reflection that we create in the preparation via the group during the week before often comes down to starting with an introduction. And an introduction, what it does for me, it makes me think about who I am now. Mm-hmm. So maybe a good process for you to start for yourself is just simply to start thinking about, well, who am I? Who am I today? Not who I want to be and not who I, or what I intend for the experience to be, but who am I? And where am I in my life, especially from a spiritual point of view? Without expectation, without regret, without feeling any negative emotions with that, but how would you share that with the group if necessary? That, it's a good starting point, that reflection. Even after you've said it and all you've said is, well, I'm an accountant and I live in... I nearly said Hicksville. Hicksville has been a topic. Doesn't matter where you live in the world. But once you've shared that and even said that out loud to nobody, your mind starts opening up to that question of who am I? And that's part of how mushrooms work with you. It's focusing on who you are and starting to communicate with that inner self.
Danny, if I can ask, where will you be journeying? At your home or with Kerry? Or
yes, with Kerry.
You know, because part of the process on the online process itself would be preparing your own space. And maybe that's something that you can work with Kerry is, for example, maybe, yeah. You know, maybe when you get there, is help her prepare your space where you'll be journeying during the evening.
That's a great idea, Roger.
Thank you, Roger. I actually really like that because I was going to prepare it for Danny, but I think a co-preparation would actually be really valuable.
So, Danny, in the next couple of days, think about maybe one or two artifacts. Maybe it's a picture or something that's meaningful to you, and to take that with you and to create your own, take that with you. And when you create that space, you know, put that item there.
Okay, is that like the anchor? I think Kerry sent me something that talked about an anchor.
Yeah, it could be an anchor, but Kerry will also be your anchor.
Right. Where to next from here? We've touched a little bit on microdosing. Tamlin, did we give you and are we giving you a good enough overview of microdosing? Or do you have some other thoughts that you or questions that you'd like to ask about that?
Hi. No, that's fine. That was kind of what I was interested in understanding.
Great. The question you asked about watching, we could have another three meetings about watching and share you about the experience of growth and transformation that continues to happen through the process of watching. And I hope you've got a good understanding, at least of a starting point, or watch the role, or at least what the role of a watcher is when working with mushrooms. So there's an overview. I've shared an article, an introductory article from the knowledge base on the website as well. You're welcome to have a read.
Thank you.
Just to get an overview there too.
Thanks.
But just to add, Tamlin, that it's done from a place of unconditional love. Mm. Yeah, and that is unconditional love, not non-judgmental, not being judgmental in any way. And just being there for you.
And Tamlin, all of us as watchers, we're just ordinary people. We're not shamans or pastors or priests or anything like that. We're ordinary people who've experienced mushrooms. And the one thing that I think many people don't realize is that the watchers are gaining more in their experience, even than the journey is. That's my own personal experience, that when I'm watching, I'm getting more than when I actually journey. Because we're living in two worlds then at the same time. With one foot in the practical world where we help people to the toilet and give them an extra blanket, and at the same time, we're connecting with the forces of nature.
Matt, may I ask you another question, Monica? Do you find, as watchers, trying to think how best to articulate this. So I'm an empathic intuitive. So I have clairsentience, claircognizance, and you know, everybody has this available to them, just some people are a little bit more and a little bit less. For me, I sometimes struggle, and it's something I'm working on at the moment, into not taking on other people's energy and not absorbing their energy. Do you ever find as a watcher that it's hard to keep that boundary up?
Personally, I don't know what the other watchers would say, but I don't find that hard. I know that the best and most loving thing that I can do is to have a detachment, but a very caring and helpful detachment, helpful being in a practical way. Because, you know, you kind of may not be able to walk very straight when you're on mushrooms. So to have strong arms to help you to the toilet is a great relief, you know, that sort of thing. But, and there's certain people who journey that really grab at my heart, where I can really feel for them, usually because I knew before they arrived, what they were coming to work with. But I am never struggle with actually keeping separate from them.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the other watchers might agree, but if there's any other thinking on that, I think it was a good question.
And I think it's something that you learn as a watcher.
Yes.
You know, maybe when you first start your first one or two watches, you might want to try and be that empathetic somebody. But over time, you learn to have that sort of detachment in a loving way.
Yeah.
And
we have a problem sometimes with new watchers who haven't learned these things very well yet, where they want to come in and save everyone who's there and be the one. And to be the one to provide support and help, and they kind of rush around almost. I sometimes get the feeling in the early days that we had a herd of buffaloes there who, if anyone had made a little peep, everyone would trundle over to the other side of the room to that person and that person, because they want to be helpful, but we can't be helpful. In the light of what mushrooms offer, what we have to offer is tiny, absolutely tiny and insignificant. All we can do is be a presence, and a silent presence is the best kind of presence, but very present, not pretending to be present, literally present all night long.
I did see Corita also shaking her. It said, no. You don't take it on. So I do appreciate that. Corita, do you have anything to add?
Hi, Anton. Not really. I don't have as much watching experience as you guys. But I've not in my watching ever felt the need to keep myself separate or to keep myself in any certain way. Actually, all I was just there, and I felt like that was enough. I never felt the need to analyze that or to think, oh, maybe I should be more involved, or maybe I should be removing myself, maybe I'm taking on too much. When you enter the space of the mushroom, all is revealed. You're just there, and you don't have to. You don't. As Monica says, we're such a tiny little crumb of what's really happening there, and that's how it feels. It's like your being there is all that's needed. there's nothing else to wonder about or to think about doing or not doing. That's it.
Thank you,
Thanks, Corita. That's actually just how it is, Sam. Where we, I like that you said when you enter the space of mushrooms, when you enter into that space, we all become one. All the watchers, the whole watcher group becomes one. There's now no boundaries between any of us and those who are journeying. And no one is more important than anyone else. And it's a very mysterious, mystical thing that lasts many hours.
Tamlin, I hope that explains or gives you an answer. I wanted to add from my side that it doesn't take anything away from the empathic skills and the senses that you've developed personally. In the watching environments, Carrie mentioned, creates a wonderful image that we learn to stay in our own lane.
Yes.
there's a time and place to take advantage of those skills that you developed for yourself, yes. But working with mushrooms in the Soma way is not that place. Mm-hmm. Because no matter how advanced our skills are and what gifts we have in our life, we are simply only going to get in the way and limit that experience for another person. Mm. I hope that explains.
And one needs to always remember that becoming a watcher is because you have this want to be of assistance to people. So being a watcher, the people who are called to be watchers, or as we say, want to be watchers, are people who actually care about people massively and actually want to make a difference in the world. So you arrive there as this person who wants to help, and I want to help anybody I possibly can, and I want to be involved with everybody, because that's who we are. We want to be people who are making a difference in the world. So it's this very interesting thing that you need to learn, this balance of actually being of assistance but not doing that much. And that's something that I learned that was so beautiful, because we all are people who just want to help people. We just want to be of assistance. We just want to be there for you, kind of thing. And it's that learning, that balance of not interfering. I just wanted to say that, because just want to say we do care. Okay. Even though we don't interfere, we do care deeply. And I think Roger was saying that with that love connection that we have. So that's how we find ourselves here as watchers, because of how we feel about people.
Thanks, Shirley. Thanks, Tamlin. That's a really good insight to give us and give answer to that kind of question. Mm-hmm. Are there any other thoughts, any other questions that we can answer here for anybody this evening? No, if there are any questions, or Danny, there we go. Yeah,
I would, it just sound like, to me, the watchers sound like just the people that hold space for the person to journey on their own in a safe environment, because I know in recreational drug use, the bad trips that I had were when I did not feel safe. Mm-hmm. I was not in an atmosphere where I felt safe and did not enjoy the recreational drug that I did. So this, to me, in a controlled atmosphere, and by the way, since my spiritual awakening, I haven't done any recreational drugs. It's been like 20 years now. Mm-hmm. But I trust that spirit, angels, guides, whoever has brought Carrie into my life and this experience, because I'm so excited about it that I just know that that's why they've brought her into my sphere. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you so much. I can't wait to talk about it after my first journey.
Yeah. Danny, if I can just say one thing, we don't view sacred mushrooms in any way as being a drug.
Gotcha.
A drug is maybe something that the big pharmaceutical companies are now looking to try and synthesize from psilocybin. And we feel that there's a fundamental difference between what they're trying to achieve and the way that we use it. And that is simply that the experience that you get from from sacred mushrooms has a deeply personal and sacred aspect to it. I wish I had Anton's phrase, the conscious phrase right now, and he must give it to me. Sorry, I've lost you all. Are you there? Sorry.
We're here. You're here.
Sorry, I must have pushed a button somewhere. And so, in as much as, for example, the pharmaceutical companies are wanting to synthesize psilocybin and use it as a drug to treat medically defined ailments, be it depression or whatever, our view is that we are not there to treat any condition or any disease, but merely to provide you with the space to go deep into yourself, to touch that spirituality aspect deep down inside oneself. And it's through that process, we feel, that a lot of the healing that the medical fraternity is wanting to try and sort out comes from, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that to me is a fundamental difference. So we don't view it as a drug, we view it as something that's very sacred, and that the healing that a lot of us get, apart from the insights, comes from that deeply spiritual space.
I'm absolutely dying to ask Danny and Kerry how you found each other. I mean, is that appropriate to talk about here, or should we talk about that another time?
I'm happy to talk about it here. So I was introduced to Danny through another friend of mine who journeyed here last, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. And so she's Danny's neighbor, and they've been school friends for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So the next step is I'll be dying to hear how Danny is after his first experience.
Me too. I'll be glad to share it. Thank you.
That'll be Sunday morning.
We'll be sharing notes over breakfast, indeed.
Great.
Wow.
Okay. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else that'd like to ask any questions? A reminder, we're here. The knowledge base is there on the website. If anybody wants any more information about the upcoming events, they can send an email or check on the website for upcoming dates. Otherwise, we normally have these meetings once a month. We'll see what happens in a month's time, if there's going to be another one. But otherwise, stay in touch with the community. There are the links via social media. And we look forward to hearing from you, Danny, from you, Kerry, how it goes on Sunday. We'd love to hear. And from everybody else, lots and lots of love.
Yes.
From the panelists, Roger, Margie, Rodi, Monica, thank you for being here. As always, we appreciate it. And to everybody else, Carrie and Corita, Selma, Jerissa, Tamlin, Danny, lots and lots of love.
Thank you, everybody, for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thank you very much.
Much love.
Bye.
Thank you.